me read a little story about a man from the Bible that needed a little push to fulfill in the will of God for his life. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it's about Timothy. Timothy was a young man that the Apostle Paul was writing to, and he gives him some instructions here. He says some things about him, and then he gives him some instructions that I think maybe would be useful for us and the things that we've been considering tonight. He introduces, of course, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. So I guess Timothy knew, I'm sorry, Paul knew this fellow, and maybe he knew him for a while already. I don't know. The thought is, as he calls him, my dear son in the faith, he wasn't his natural biological child, but no doubt, or the at least prevalent thought, is that Timothy, under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, had found the Lord and was aspiring to serve the Lord. He had that heart. I guess he could have made tents or could have done this or that, but it seems as if the Lord was calling him and leading and directing his life. And the apostle, as he writes him these epistles, these letters, is trying to encourage him. Because, as they often say, they think that Timothy had a little bit of a, like Courtney had just described. He was a little shy, a little backward, a little timid. A timid Timothy. Courtney wasn't always shy or backward when he was a little boy. You bounced around pretty good. That was you gave Sister Joyce a run for her money. But you are what he described now. He's just reserved and quiet and demure and just a great guy. And so was Timothy. And he needed some help right now in his life. He got into a place, although he was loving Jesus and active in whatever he could do for the Lord, it seems as if there was some stagnation, if I could call it that. That happens. That happens not just to young people. It happens to old people. We quit before we're done. I don't know this idea that, oh, I'm going to hand it over to the young people. Well, yeah, there's a point to that. Hand it over to the young people. That doesn't mean quit. That doesn't mean give up. Sometimes what people mean when they say that is, I'm tired, I'm too tired to do anything, and I'm just going home and doing nothing, and so let other people take my place. And don't ever retire from the work of the Lord, from the service of the Lord. I just caught Sister Alice's, how old's your dad? 91. Is he on his way to Taiwan, or is he coming back from Taiwan? Or is he going to China tomorrow? Or is he going to a conference someplace else to minister? He's not going to quit. He should retire. Somebody tell him he should retire. What would he tell you if you told him to retire? Huh? Retire, nothing. There's no such thing as retire. Now, your ministry might change. You might not be able to do what you used to do. You might not have the strength to do what you used to do. But you don't quit. You don't stop. You don't retire. And when you're as young as Timothy, sometimes the reason for stagnation is just the fact that we're timid, just the fact that we don't feel adequate. We don't feel capable. And here the Apostle Paul says, Timothy, God's done something good for you. You have faith in your heart. I think you really do. I think you really love and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I perceive that in you. That faith first was in Grandma. And then Mama had that too. Your mother had that same faith. Now, as we know, Timothy's father was not a believer. Timothy's father was a Greek, a heathen, an unbeliever. But his mother had faith. And so if you come from a home where you're finding yourself in a family where one loves the Lord and the other doesn't, or nobody loves the Lord, that doesn't preclude you from serving the Lord. And thank God that his mother had faith over her family and believed God for her children, and so did grandma. And I perceive, Timothy, Paul says, that faith is in you also. He goes on and he says, for this reason, I remind you that you need to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Somewhere along the line, the Apostle Paul had prayed for Timothy. I don't know what his prayer was. I don't find it recorded in the Bible. But he had laid his hands on Timothy, had prayed for Timothy. And God had done something for Timothy as the Apostle Paul prayed for him, laid his hands on him. And the Apostle now says, Timothy, that thing that God has done in you is going to sleep. And you can't afford to let it go to sleep. You got to fan that into flame. You've all built a fire before. You remember in building it, the flames are way high up there. The bonfire that we'll have this week, if weather permits, out on the beach, there'll be a beautiful, and all of a sudden it'll die down. If it dies down before midnight, we're going to say, put another log on the fire. Because we want it to keep on going to at least one or two. Not really. But we want to stoke that fire. Or maybe you've seen in this fireplace here, Brother Tom will come and he'll take a piece of cardboard or the newspaper and they'll be going like this with it. Or use that thing that... What do you do that? You try to fan into flame. The fire's going out. The fire's dying down. That's not good. Timothy, you can't let that happen to you. God has invested something in you. Don't let the thing lie dormant. Don't let it go to ashes. Don't let it go out. But Timothy, and it's interesting, he doesn't say, Timothy, the Lord will fan into flame. He says, Timothy, you fan into flame. You know how that happened. You know the ardor that you had, the desire that you had, the hunger that you had. Timothy, you remember when you came to meeting and you just opened up your heart, opened up your soul, and now it's kind of gone to sleep and you're okay, don't worry, I'm still loving Jesus, and it's not the same. And that fire that once burned in your heart, burned in your soul, it's not burning anymore. It's not burning as it used to. That same zeal that you once had, it's not there anymore. The same desire to follow the Lord, do his will, that's not there anymore. I don't know specifically what this was in Timothy. It doesn't say it in my Bible, but it does say that the Apostle Paul encourages that young man, and I'd like to encourage every young man and every old man, or older man. There are no old men here, just a little older. I'd like to encourage every one of us tonight, fan into flame. Fan into flame the work that God has done in you. If he's done anything in you. And I dare say that he's done something in every one of your hearts. I don't think there's a person here, and I don't know, again, all of you well, but the little that I know you, the little that I've seen you, and the little that I've been exposed to you since you've been at camp, I can tell that God has done something for you. Don't ever let that diminish. Don't ever let it go out. He goes on and he says, For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, or it says in some translations, a spirit of fear. God didn't give you a spirit like that, but he gives you a spirit of power. He gives you a spirit of love, and he gives you a spirit of self-discipline or a sound mind. Well, that's what God's spirit comes to do, to give to every one of us. Not a fear, not a timidity, not a I can't and I never will, but a spirit of power. Power to overcome the world. Power to walk with him in white. Power to be victorious for him in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We read in Galatians chapter 5, if you live in the spirit, then you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so we have power as we live in the Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit, to overcome the evils around us in this world. We read in Acts chapter 2, now go to the city of Jerusalem and wait there until you're endued with power from on high. The power of the Holy Spirit of God, the power that there is in Christ. Well, you need that, disciples. What? To be witnesses for him. To be what he wants you to be, what he's called you to be. Those that were in Acts chapter 6, the ones that they were called upon to serve tables, Sound familiar, anybody? The ones that had to serve tables, you know what their qualifications were for serving tables to the widows in the Christian community? Any idea? Two things. First of all, they weren't waitresses, they were waiters. But what were the two qualifications? Well, you had to be able to hold two trays at once, carry three coffee mugs, and clear six plates at one time. It had nothing to do with that. We got to find out people that can serve tables, that can wait on these widows in the daily ministration. So choose you out from among you, seven men of honest report, filled with faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. To serve tables? To serve tables? That's what... Yeah. Well, I don't understand. Well, unfortunately, you don't understand, but you will. Well, it takes the help and the strength and the power of God to do the way that He wants you to do it. Maybe to do it cheerfully. Maybe to serve with the love of Christ. I think people recognize the difference. Now, the service and the waiting, the waitress, it's great. I mean, I got no complaints at least. I get my coffee filled, the cup, again and again and again, and they're learning. Just keep filling Brother Ernie's cup with coffee and he's happy. And I am. That's great. And it's going real well, and we appreciate all your service. But just the mundane tasks, filled with faith, stir up that thing, fan into flame. God has given you a spirit of power and of love, of love. Makes me love everybody. Oh, thank God. Love the unlovely. Love the person that's a little out of the way and a little different than we are. Love the one that doesn't quite fit in very well because they're kind of a misfit in the whole scheme of things. But God sheds His love abroad in our hearts to incorporate everybody in the family of God. And we even love our enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use and persecute. That's Timothy. Come on, Timothy. Fan into flame the thing that God's done for you. Forget about this timidity. He's given you the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. To be able to rein in your emotions, to be able to rein in those passions that rage within. Oh, thank God for the power there is in the Holy Spirit. And that fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God wants to burn in our hearts. And if it's gone down, if it's diminishing, if it's ebbing, if it's waning instead of growing, if it's not blazing as it once had, well, that's the time now to get to God, open your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a rekindling of that love. I need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I need you to come and restore to me the work that you've done, that thing that you invested in me. You don't want it to diminish, you want it to grow. And you want to keep that fire burning in my heart. I like the song we sing sometimes, 'Tis burning in my soul. 'Tis burning in my soul. The fire of heavenly love is burning in my soul. The Holy Spirit came. Oh, glory to His name. How is it? How is it with you? Are they embers? Are they white hot? Are they there? Is it cold? Is it lukewarm? Or is there something there that can yet be fanned into flame? I believe, not talking about physical embers now, God can fan into flame whatever there is left in you. He wants to. He wants to do that for all of us. In your heart, in your life, fan into flame. Dear Lord, stir up the gift that is in you. That thing that God has put into your heart there at that last summer retreat or that last winter retreat or that time back at home in church or in your private devotions when God did something for you, when God's presence was manifest to you, fan into flame. Don't let that go out. Do the best you can to open your heart and say, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray, come in your strength. Come in your power. Come in your own special way. Does anybody here tonight need to fan into flame? Is there anybody? Nobody? There are a few. There are a bunch of us. Yeah, me too. Fan into flame. Now, could I do that for you? I'm going to try. I can't. Oh, but I'm Brother Ernie. So what? It doesn't get me on the bus. It doesn't get me far. I can't fan into flame. The Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can fan into flame in your heart. And so if you raised your hand, if you, and even if you didn't, but if you feel like I could use help, I want His love. I need His power. I need some self-discipline. I need that Spirit that God has put into me and given to me. I need to fan into flame. Well, then do something about it. What do I got to do? Well, maybe just say, Holy Spirit, come. Come to me. I open my heart, Lord. Now restore, renew, fan into flame. The White Book, we have a song. You probably know the chorus of it very well, but the verses are there also. Come. It's a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come to me. Come to my heart. I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray, in your strength and in your power. It's number 124? 124.
Hallelujah.